Continuing Helen Wright's book, Mary Baker Eddy Reveals Your Divinity.
At long last, a joyful end seems in sight for one of history's saddest chapters. Ideas born in the West flowered in Tiananmen Square, where they were crushed only to rise again in Prague's Wenceslas Square. The communist leaders are learning that their policies have led to the isolation of the communist countries in the general flow of world civilization, and their plan to dominate the world materially has failed. Everywhere, communism is unraveling. Its dramatic dismantling from within is proceeding at a breathless pace, a pace that even the shrewdest Kremlin statesman cannot halt ultimately. We are seeing people power. On the cutting edge of the democratization process are the hundreds of thousands of people peacefully demonstrating. It is their pressure that will move this democratization process forward. While our self-deception at places like Potsdam, Yalta, Paris, and Geneva helped solidify and expand the Soviet system, depriving of liberty untold millions of oppressed inhabitants of the communist empire, yet American generosity over the past four decades and the sheer power of the most efficient force in the world, namely goodwill, has played its part in these majestic history-making changes today sweeping Eastern Europe. As this is being written, the air of freedom is almost tangible. Fulfillment of Isaiah's stirring prophecy looms. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. The time has come when nation must say to nation, I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God. Thanksgiving Day of 1989 gathered a new harvest, not of the hands, but of the soul. As the hunger, the bitter grinding poverty, the desperation and chaos of Eastern Europe falls with the falling of a material wall, so will the shameful wall built by the Boston hierarchy dissipate and be no more. The Christian Science movement needs a clarion call, a piercing trumpet to signal the attack, with each of us becoming a Gabriel. As spiritual understanding broadens, deepens, strengthens, it drives nails into the coffin of priestcraft, and the remnants devotion of thought to the honest achievement of bringing about obedience to Mary Baker Eddy's manual will reap its fruition. The mighty colossus of ecclesiastical domination that has, since Mrs. Eddy's passing, sat astride the fence of freedom, casting its long shadow of disobedience over the Christian Science movement, has reached its day of reckoning. The momentous expansion of understanding of Mary Baker Eddy's manual is bringing victory in this battle for spiritual freedom. The battle to free individual Christian Scientists from ecclesiastical thought control and their fear of reading anything not authorized by five mortals in Boston. Many of the accumulated abuses and violations that dishonored Mary Baker Eddy's manual bylaws after she passed from mortal sight have been set forth in the author's two books on the manual. The following is a brief review of two or three of these flagrant abuses. The ecclesiastical hierarchy's official strictures against any writing not approved by the five directors in Boston, which the directors call unauthorized literature, has done incalculable harm to the progress of Christian Science. The manual's bylaw, Article 8, speaks only of incorrect literature and says nothing about not reading it. How would one know if it is incorrect if one didn't read it? Mrs. Eddy describes such attempts at controlling a student's reading matter as, quote, wicked, tyrannical, prescriptive, and unchristian, unquote. Students should read critically and widely, always using the Bible and Science and Health as their textbooks, their authority. The sheer lunacy of this thought control by the Boston hierarchy has had a devastating effect on individual growth, depriving members of instructive and inspiring literature, and constricting Mary Baker Eddy's great revelation within institutional fetters. Practitioners and teachers, caught recommending literature not authorized by the five directors, were, and still are, subject to excommunication, disgrace, delisting in the journal, and, incidentally, to the deprivation of their income. "Fear is the weapon in the hands of tyrants," says Mrs. Eddy. This fear led to servility and dependence on human authority. This fear to read widely, to initiate and innovate, ended the vitality of the Christian Science movement. The famous and honorable Charles Evans Hughes, who ran for President of the United States and later became Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court as the lawyer for the publishing trustees in the 1919-1921 Great Litigation, saw the issue clearly, and in his summary argument for the publishing trustees, prophetically stated, quote, "It seems to us as most unjust, Mrs. Eddy, most contrary to her teachings, to assume for a moment that she relied upon the exercise of despotic power which these directors have arrogated to themselves. The unity which these directors wish, the unity of despotic power, the control absolutely of the entire government of Christian Science in the church and in the publications and everywhere else, that is the unity which might well destroy the very faith of the organization for the propagation of the faith to which they profess to be devoted." Unquote. The Supreme Court of Massachusetts upheld the position of the trustees in the case which the trustees won against the directors, and also upheld the publishing trustees when the directors launched their appeal in their effort to wrest control over the trustees and the publishing society. But, because the field had grown used to trusting the directors, who for 18 years previous to Mrs. Eddy's demise had governed under her watchful eye and care, and also because lecturers, teachers, and practitioners were instructed by the directors to muster and rally support for them, the directors, and at the same time campaign against the trustees of the publishing society, the court was faced with overwhelming support that poured in for the directors. Chief Justice, therefore, acceded to the voice of the seeming majority, who wanted a king to rule over them. Also, courts do not have jurisdiction over ecclesiastical matters. Mrs. Eddy had warned in 1892, "If you organize again, it will ruin the prosperity of our church. I have consented to whatever the church pleases to do, for I am not her keeper. And if she again sells her prosperity for a mess of pottage, it is not my fault." When the students would not listen, Mrs. Eddy said, "Let the church reorganize. Let her pass on to her experience, and the sooner the better. When we will not learn in any other way, this is God's order of teaching us. His rod alone will do it." Unquote. Today, we are witnessing the results of material organization as our churches stand empty and the wonderful healing work of earlier days has almost ceased. Once these manual terminated directors had the power of the press, along with the other powers they arrogated to themselves, they quickly became what Professor Braden describes, quote, "There is nowhere now any more centrally controlled religious organization than the church founded by Mrs. Eddy. It is the rigidity of the organizational structure, with its extraordinary controls over branch churches, practitioners, and other responsible leaders, that has been the occasion for most of the conflict that has been aroused." Unquote. Every measure the directors took to guard their authority has stifled freedom of thought and expression, inhibited initiative and responsibility, and has closed off the means of inspiration and instruction. Their every step has tended to dilute and emasculate science. The fall of the Christian Science Publishing Society. As the decade of the 80s closed, the dams of freedom for both the Iron Curtain nations of Eastern Europe and the captive Christian Science Church members opened. Let us not be frightened by the loudness of the river's roar. Had Mrs. Eddy's manual been obeyed at her passing, the two world wars might have been avoided, along with the resulting plight of their captive nations. Again, had Mrs. Eddy's manual been obeyed at her passing, world thought might today have been loosed for its higher destiny of pure metaphysics through her legally established Christian Science Publishing Society, the greatest casualty of the disobedience to her manual. As we have just seen, within a few short years after Mrs. Eddy's passing, the Publishing Society fell prey to what appeared to be the grasping for power, prestige, and authority by the manual-terminated Church Board of Directors. This evil appeared as ecclesiastical despotism, which sat at the apex of what it considered itself to be, namely, quote, the highest ecclesiastical court in the land, unquote, in an effort to substitute itself for the demands of principle. It painfully polarized the Christian Science movement into two camps, one supporting the manual-terminated directors, and the other supporting Mary Baker Eddy's manual bylaws, most particularly those containing estoppel clauses. This polarization often separated even family members, as each recoiled from the other's viewpoint. The vast majority, of course, as usual, sat in silence, wanting only a powerful message to shout, a winning ticket to follow, and a heavenly vision of the future to embrace. Forget the present. And so it came to pass that immediately upon Mrs. Eddy's leaving the scene, the manual-terminated church directors, disinclined to step onto the slippery slope of power-sharing, for which they obviously had no more enthusiasm than a condemned man mounting a scaffold, began their efforts to override Mrs. Eddy's publishing trust deed provisions. The ecclesiastical directors needed the means of the publishing society, the power of the press, and incidentally the power of the purse it yielded, to influence the Christian Science field and keep themselves securely ensconced in a position of authority. Thus was kept in power that which wars with love's spiritual compact. Defending Mrs. Eddy's publishing deed, Herbert Eustace wrote that by legally setting up the Christian Science Publishing Society entirely apart from the church organization, Mrs. Eddy undoubtedly hoped to thwart the attempt of evil to bury Christian Science in ecclesiasticism and materialism, as it had previously buried Christianity. Here let your heart take a picture. Mrs. Eddy had, for more than 40 years, struggled valiantly to give the science of the Christ to the world, to lift humanity out of bondage to the 5 physical senses that have made man the most absolutely weak and inharmonious creature in the universe. Now, as she neared the end of her sojourn with us, she became increasingly aware of what her temporary ecclesiastical board of directors was planning and plotting with attorneys to do once she was no longer here. As she selflessly yearned to save Christian Science from the Herod of ecclesiasticism, the Herod that was seeking to rule by personality instead of ruling by the Word of God and her divinely dictated manual, God suddenly supplied her with the means which assured that her manual would eventually be obeyed. Her fervent, unceasing prayer was answered. The way that opened up would make her manual a legal instrument, an instrument that would legally require obedience to her manual's estoppel clauses, the most important of which was the bylaw estoppel terminating her 5-member ecclesiastical board. It happened that at this very time, it was decided to build an extension to the Little Mother Church. For this purpose, Mrs. Eddy purchased the 10 properties surrounding the Little Mother Church. Then, as she deeded these properties over to her 5-member board, each of the 10 deeds contained the stipulation found in the deed on page 137 of the manual. It states, quote, "This property is conveyed on the further trusts that no new tenant or bylaw shall be adopted, nor any tenant or bylaw amended or annulled by the grantees, unless the written consent of said Mary Baker G. Eddy be given therefor. A copy of these 10 deeds can be found in the author's book, If Mary Baker Eddy's Manual Were Obeyed, 2nd and 3rd editions. Mrs. Eddy knew that even if her 5 directors betrayed her, and through fraud and deception kept themselves in power, sooner or later these 10 deeds of trust would be honored by the courts of this land. In the class of 1898 she prophetically declared, "The manual will be regarded as law by law." To Clara Shannon she explained, "This church manual is God's law, as much as the 10 commandments and the Sermon on the Mount. It is God's law and will be acknowledged as law, by law." And she smiled and looked up from her writing and said, "I mean by the laws of our state, even if it has to go to the higher courts." Unquote. Further, in her effort to stem the tide that she saw rising up to engulf and destroy the incorporeal Savior, the Christ or spiritual idea which leadeth into all truth, she took, number one, the step we've already seen of terminating the temporary board. Number two, gave the legal, self-perpetuating 4-member board, properly established in her 1892 deed of trust, authority only over the Boston Church. And three, legally established the Christian Science Publishing Society and put the entire authority for all Christian Science literature, apart from her own writings, perpetually and irrevocably under the publishing trustees, setting it entirely apart from the material, about to be abolished, church organization. When one realizes the kind of help Mrs. Eddy got from the men students in authority in Boston, who never saw that her authority came from God, but tended to question her every progressive step, trying to have her directions from God conform to mortal usages and opinions, her achievement to human sense is nothing short of miraculous. Mrs. Eddy can only be known spiritually. Only as students awake spiritually and forsake materiality will they obey the bylaws in the manual. Obedience to the manual will bring worldwide advancement. It seems that just as every generation must learn for itself that the stove is hot, so must every Christian Scientist, sooner or later, learn for himself that ecclesiasticism and priestcraft have no relation to Christian Science. And to think they have is to manacle oneself to a corpse. Christian Scientists, loyal to Mary Baker Eddy, feel the manual-terminated ecclesiastical directors should obey her manual bylaws and step down. We are not asking for their heads, only for their resignations. In today's world, Boston ecclesiasticism looks totally abnormal and will look increasingly anomalous in days to come, a throwback to ideas no one can quite ever remember having had. Scientists, too, as American revolutionary Thomas Paine wrote, have it in their power to begin the world over again. Paine said, "A situation similar to the present hath not happened since the days of Noah until now. The birthday of a new world is at hand, and a race of man are to receive their freedom from the events of a few months." Unquote. Today, whole nations are moving to secure their political and social freedom, and incredibly, it is happening in a few months. Who shall say that this same movement of freedom cannot happen also in the Christian Science movement? Everything points to the old order, the tyranny of the usurpative directors being swept away. Perhaps, when they have spent themselves into bankruptcy, there will be room for a new beginning. Once the manual is obeyed, the world will see more advancement in one generation than it has in the last 4. Even today, as our foremost physical scientists are increasingly turning their thought toward the spiritual, they are finding a force and creative power that has up to now scarcely been touched, a power that has been the greatest of all powers in the development of man. The Publishing Society was to forever accommodate students who are divinely led to publish simple articles explaining some point in Christian Science, or to publish voluminous works on the science taught by Mrs. Eddy. She knew the propagating of Christian Science would depend largely upon the written word. Bear in mind, Mrs. Eddy established the Publishing Society as a separate entity. It had nothing to do with the material church organization, as can be seen by reading the above-mentioned last 10 of her 13 Deeds of Trust, one of which can be found on page 136 in the manual. Mrs. Eddy knew that continuous publishing of the Word would be necessary in order to spread abroad the message of Christian Science. She saw the necessity for Christian Scientists to speak louder and more often in declaring what the pioneer had accomplished in bringing to mankind the second coming of the Christ, and she created the means to do so. Publishing Society provides an example. When Mary Baker Eddy executed the deed establishing the Christian Science Publishing Society, she set it up as a perpetual and irrevocable trust and confidence, entrusting three self-perpetuating independent Christian Scientists to care for the publishing of the Christian Science periodicals. This legal deed of trust was to have remained in effect after her passing as a perpetual and irrevocable trust and confidence, while, on the other hand, the material Mother Church and its five-member ecclesiastical board of directors was to have terminated at Mrs. Eddy's passing, according to the bylaws of the Church Manual. The Publishing Society that Mrs. Eddy established provides an example or prototype for enlightened Christian Science societies or individuals to follow in setting up their own publishing societies around the world, in accordance with Jesus' admonition, "Freely ye have received, freely give." The manual and publishing deed do not conflict. The publishing deed does not conflict with the manual's estoppel on page 80, which, under editors and managers, states, "Incumbents who have served 1 year or more can be re-elected, or new officers elected by unanimous vote of the Christian Science Board of Directors and the consent of the pastor emeritus given in her own handwriting." What did Mrs. Eddy accomplish with this bylaw and its estoppel? Estoppel is a legal term for the stopping of an action. With this bylaw and its estoppel that required her signature given in her own handwriting, Mrs. Eddy strictly provided for the discontinuing at her passing of the periodicals as official church publications. It should also be remembered that Mrs. Eddy, as has been thoroughly authenticated, totally rejected the proposal to have a group of church officials authorize or select what Christian Scientists should read. There was to be no official church publication, Article 25, Section 4. So insistent was Mrs. Eddy's determination to keep all sense of personality out of Christian Science that she even sent the Concord Branch Church quotations from her writings without citing, quote, Mary Baker Eddy, unquote, but rather, quote, Science and Health, unquote. In doing this, Mrs. Eddy was yielding her personal leadership to Science and Health. In Miscellany, she states that those who look for her in person or elsewhere than in her writings lose her instead of find her. Again, with regard to her manual, which, as before indicated, she held as holy writ, because she knew God had dictated it, as certainly as God had dictated Science and Health, it is interesting to note that in Article 27, Section 4, Mrs. Eddy places herself under the authority of the manual, and she certainly placed her temporary ecclesiastical board of five directors under the authority of the manual. After Mrs. Eddy's passing, among other changes, the manual terminated directors added a, quote, topical index, quote, at the back of the manual. What do you think was significantly omitted in this index? You probably guessed. Neither under, quote, Board of Directors or under, quote, Directors is page 26 listed, the page which carries the crucial bylaw terminating the five-member ecclesiastical board when they could no longer obtain Mrs. Eddy's consent to continue. Recall that after Mrs. Eddy's passing, the directors, besides disobeying the bylaws, put out their own 89th manual, in which they made actual textual changes and additions which have led to the near destruction of the Christian Science movement. Every Christian Scientist should ask himself, since the bylaw terminating the five-member board is the most important bylaw in the manual, and obviously Mrs. Eddy's reason for writing the manual, why was page 26 pointedly omitted in the topical index? Remember, during Mrs. Eddy's lifetime, this was the only bylaw the directors strenuously objected to and repeatedly petitioned Mrs. Eddy to change or write a transferral clause delegating her authority to them. But she would not, always stating firmly that God had dictated that bylaw and she could not change what God had proclaimed. When the board fraudulently seized power after Mrs. Eddy's passing and surreptitiously put out their own 89th manual, they also omitted her name and office as pastor emeritus. It was replaced in 1924 after 14 years of pressure from the field. Why have Christian Scientists for so long disregarded, winked at, and apathetically overlooked all these chinks in the saintly armor? Why has the field supinely accepted this base betrayal of Mary Baker Eddy, the eternal leader of the Christian Science movement? Every Christian Scientist knows that comfort and security are no substitute for liberty and freedom of conscience, and also knows, as Edmund Burke said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Unquote. Instead of an uprising that should have shaken the Christian world to its very foundation, why did the vast majority of members resign themselves to some kind of nest in the spreading branches of Boston's ecclesiastical hierarchy? This, in spite of Mrs. Eddy's countless warnings that error and evil must be uncovered before it can be destroyed, that it must be exposed and denounced while recognizing no reality in it, and that we must continue to tell the truth concerning the lie. She said, God has bidden me to uncover wickedness, and I follow his voice. Let all scientists aid in this work. I have put on paper enough to reveal criminal magnetism, which is what disobedience to her bylaws adds up to, and to meet its developments for time to come, when my voice will no longer be heard. Mrs. Eddy knew that unless malpractice is exposed by Christian Scientists, the world will be little benefited by Christian Science. The greatest malpractice the world has ever known has been this disobedience to her bylaws, which has deprived the world in general of the teaching of the second coming of the Christ. Regarding the bylaw on editors and manager of the Publishing Society, which does not conflict with Mrs. Eddy's Publishing Society deed of trust, it must be understood that the editors and publishers of the Publishing Society are governed by her legal document, which continued on perpetually and irrevocably after Mrs. Eddy's passing. The publishing trustees were not required to be members of the Mother Church, since Mrs. Eddy knew the manual's provisions would terminate the Mother Church at her passing. When Mrs. Eddy told the class of 1898, the manual will be recorded as law by law, it was a divine prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. Nothing can prevent the ultimate obedience to her bylaws, which terminate all central official control and priestcraft. Quote, an unjust, unmerciful, and oppressive priesthood, she wrote, must perish, for false prophets in the present as in the past stumble onward to their doom, while their tabernacles crumble with dry rot. Unquote. Our leader knew God would not be mocked. Her teaching precludes priestcraft, since the central point of her entire teaching was that in reality the I of you is God. Know then, she said, that you possess the sovereign power to think and act rightly, and that nothing can dispossess you of this heritage and trespass on love. You are always alone with your own being and with the reality of things. You don't need an outside priest or priestcraft to control and govern you. As far as the legal Publishing Society deed of trust was concerned, the trustees of the Publishing Society were legally required to do what their legal documents said, Otherwise, they would be in contempt of court. Mrs. Eddy and her astute attorneys knew this. When the 5-member board of directors seized the publishing society and usurped its prerogative, we have the fulfilling of St. John's Revelation, chapter 13, in which the sainted revelator alerts us to the seeming power of the beast and the false prophet, who are emissaries of the dragon. Jesus had said, Scripture cannot be broken. The rapid deterioration of the publishing society and of the Christian Science movement in general that followed this usurpation was inevitable. This vitiation was largely due to the absolute authority the directors arrogated to themselves. As before noted, they designated themselves, quote, the highest ecclesiastical court in the land, unquote. And with their power to excommunicate, they made short shrift of anyone who disagreed with them. Dipping their quills in acid inkwells, they weren't terribly fussy about whom they splattered. Soon, all but the hardiest and most perseverant were intimidated and faded from prominence in the movement, leaving a cruel void in the spiritual sector. We have, in the last 3/4 of a century, seen a repeat of history of what happens when personality is substituted for government by God, namely, that the understanding of man's power, when he is equipped by God, sadly disappeared from our Christian Science history. In order to revitalize true Christianity today, it is paramount to heed Mrs. Eddy's admonition, when God bids one uncover iniquity, in order to exterminate it, one should lay it bare. And divine love will bless this endeavor and those whom it reaches. Nothing is hid that shall not be revealed. It is only a question of time when God shall reveal love's rod and show the plan of battle. Unquote. Note, there are those who maintain that Mrs. Eddy intended that her legally established publishing society terminate at her decease. But according to her manual, it was only official church publications which could not continue after her passing. It is inconceivable that she would have wanted to terminate the publishing society, which she legally set up, quote, for the purpose of more effectually promoting and extending the religion, the science, taught by her. Her publishing society had nothing to do with the material church organization which her manual terminated. Again, isn't it ludicrous to think that she would have made the following legal provisions if she had intended to terminate the Christian Science Publishing Society? 12th provision in publishing deed states, upon my decease, I sell and convey to said trustees my copyright of the Christian Science Journal to be held by them as the other property of said trust. The 11th provision of the publishing deed states, said journal shall remain a part of the trust property forever. The 10th provision gave Mrs. Eddy the right to fill a vacancy in the publishing society so long as I may live. The 4th provision of the publishing society deed states that net profits shall be turned over to the treasurer of the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston. What or who is the First Church of Christ Scientist? According to page 132 of the manual provision, the congregation which shall worship in said church shall be styled the First Church of Christ Scientist. The Publishing Society's funds were never given to a board of directors. The 3rd provision of the Publishing Society's deed further demands, said trustees shall energetically and judiciously manage the business of the Publishing Society on a strictly Christian basis and upon their own responsibility. For what purpose? What does the deed of trust say? It says plainly, as before noted, for the purpose of more effectually promoting and extending the religion of Christian Science as taught by me, Mary Baker Eddy. Ask yourself, do these plainly stated provisions sound as though Mrs. Eddy's intention was to stop publishing the Word of God? Do they indicate that upon her leaving the scene, she no longer wanted to let the Word have free course and be glorified? That she no longer cared about continuing to more effectually promote and extend the religion of Christian Science as taught by her? Mrs. Eddy knew that letting the Word have free course and be glorified was the only way humanity is going to come out of the darkness that holds mankind in bondage to universal hypnotism and illusions, out of error and evil, pain, sin, sickness, death, sorrow. This is the point she is making when she exhorts that the successive utterances of reformers, enlighteners, are essential to the Word's propagation, and that we err in thinking the object of vital Christianity is only the bequeathing of itself to the coming centuries. Only spiritual education will lift humanity out of error and despair. Millions of unprejudiced minds deprived. Had Mary Baker Eddy's Publishing Society deed not been broken and dishonored, the successive utterances of inspired Christian scientists could all have been channeled through the Christian Science Publishing Society, which was, as we have seen, her legally established medium for the purpose of more effectually promoting and extending the religion of Christian Science. Had this publishing deed of trust been honored, it would have fulfilled Mary Baker Eddy's command to give a cup of cold water in Christ's name to millions of unprejudiced minds, simple seekers for truth, hurting, heart-hungry, fearful, seemingly voiceless, choiceless, weary wanderers athirst in the desert. Mankind has come a long way since 1866 in fulfilling the hopes and dreams of the tired and oppressed, of the women who put equality above themselves, toiling in the textile mills, of mothers who gave birth on their lunch hour and fought against the evils of society with carination, indeed of all toiling, striving humanity in its search for freedom. But still today, eagerly the world is waiting, yearning for that which only Christian Science can give. Not receiving it, men, women, and even children are turning to drugs, alcohol, sexual promiscuity, and other vices for a momentary high, and incurring the further misery which slavery to these demons brings. As before noted, we are presently seeing the fulfillment of Jesus' revelation to St. John, chapters 13 to 19, which begins by telling how the dragon of old theology gave power to the beast that St. John saw rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and the dragon gave him power, and his seat, and great authority. St. John here is foretelling how the dragon of disobedience to what Mary Baker Eddy has revealed will seem all-powerful. But since infinite good never stops revealing truth to us, Mrs. Eddy urges us to continue doing all we can to spread the word of God, and, doing so, we will be victorious. The following instruction, in the future tense, was written to encourage the remnant, when Mrs. Eddy was no longer here, to counteract and fend off the seeming power of universal hypnotic suggestion, aggressive mental misconceptions. Quote, "What if the old dragon should send forth a new flood to drown the Christ idea? He can neither drown your voice, nor again sink the world into the deep waters of chaos. In this age, the earth will help the woman, science. The spiritual idea will be understood." Unquote. Nothing is lost when a false sense of church vanishes into its original nothingness. For that which rests upon divine principle remains and is being seen as the omnipresent church of all time and place. This, Mary Baker Eddy has lovingly presented for all who have ears to hear and eyes to see. Publishing is today paramount. The Word of God of Christian Science is the woman that the earth will help. This Word of God must go forth to spiritually educate humanity, make it consciously aware of its divinity. Mankind's thinking must be lifted up from the earth. It must be raised up out of ignorance, out of the illusion that man is a corporeal mortal enslaved by the testimony of the 5 physical senses. This necessitates pointing out what is unreal, illusory, as well as what is real, factual, and true. As has been pointed out, more than any other religion, Christian Science, because it is a science, depends on print rather than speech. This is why Mrs. Eddy established the Publishing Society. She knew that the science, the truth, she had discovered, depended for its propagation, its expansion in human consciousness, on the written word, that its correct expression and explanation is most likely to be accurately obtained through the medium of print, through articles and books kept abreast of the times. We all can become publishers. From all that Mrs. Eddy has written, there can be no doubt that she set up the Publishing Society as an example for us to follow. Any God-inspired, God-directed group or individual can form a Publishing Society, using Mrs. Eddy's Publishing Society Deed of Trust as an example, as guidance. Let it be said, quote, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company that published it," unquote. We all can become publishers when we begin to spiritually understand Mary Baker Eddy's great discovery and revelation. God is speaking to us every minute of the day. We should listen, as Mary Baker Eddy did, and we should be publishing what God, the kingdom of God within us, is revealing about our true identity, our oneness with infinite good. Recall that she said, "The successive utterances of spiritual enlighteners is essential to the word's propagation." Spiritual education must today be given priority. We are the Word incarnate. The more this teaching is spread abroad, the more it will be seen that what the five physical senses testify to as corporeal man is nothing more than universal hypnotic suggestion. The I of each one is God, as Mrs. Eddy repeatedly explains and as this volume has dwelt upon. The I of each one does not have a material, corporeal body, but has a body constituted of God ideas. The great point the first edition has repeatedly stressed is that material bodies, along with sin, sickness, death, sorrow, are all illusions, misconceptions, appearance only, which through spiritual education will fade out. To awaken and spiritually educate a world sunken in sin and sensuality, Mrs. Eddy established the Christian Science Publishing Society as supplementary to her writings, saying, "Let the word have free course and be glorified. The people clamor to leave cradle and swaddling clothes. The spiritual status is urging its highest demands on mortals, and material history is drawing to a close." Unquote. Since truth cannot be stereotyped but unfolds endlessly, the approaching 7,000-year period will bring the realization that we are idea. We are not a physical, corporeal man. We are all destined to escape from the misconception that we are in bondage to matter, to a flesh, blood, bones, corporeal body, initiated by the illusion of human birth, the last enemy to be destroyed by truth. In place of the illusion will dawn the realization that we are the Word incarnated. Spiritual evolution has not stopped. Mortals will evolve out of thinking they are man, just as they evolved out of monkeyhood, out of the Stone Age, or out of the caveman experience. Through the science of being, mortals will continue to evolve out of the belief, the illusion, that man is separated from infinite good, from his own infinite divine mind. He will realize that his mind, that has made a hell out of heaven, can now make a heaven out of hell, by rising out of, above and beyond, the human mind, just as Jesus our way-shower did in the Ascension. All are destined to expand into truth and self-completeness that embraces all things, and need communion with nothing more than itself to find perfection, fulfillment. That's from the first edition. Quote, "Surely the Word that is God must at some time find utterance and acceptance throughout the earth. For he that soweth shall reap. The peace of love is published, and the sword of the Spirit is drawn. Nor will it be sheathed till truth shall reign triumphant over all the earth. Unquote. Mary Baker Eddy revealed a divine educational system of ideas, which will enable humanity as a whole to understand its divinity, that in reality the I of you and the I of all is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, and is all that these divine symbols stand for. To further the sacred goal, the divine process of finding our divinity and the omnipresence of present perfection, the example of Mary Baker Eddy's Publishing Society will be revitalized. We, if we choose, can be part of this glorious process.